Okay. 61A, probably 61A1. Amar Ula, right at the top. Amar Ula, Seir Sheshchato Kodematan Damo Shapar, Lo Asav Loklam. Right, this is similar to what we were saying yesterday, that if somebody brings the blood, shechts the Seir, before you even brought the blood with the par, right? So this is part of the process. You bring the par, and then you shecht the seir. So then loss of loklum. So then it's like you didn't do anything, because technically you should do that afterwards. Okay. So the Gemara then says, Tanan, hikdim dam haseir ledam hapar, yachzor yazmi dam haseir achar dam hapar. This is our Mishnah that we had a couple days ago. That if you bring this the blood of the seir before the blood of the par, so then you go ahead and you do the blood of the seir again. But if the case was that you have to do the shechita again, so then why doesn't it say that? Vim isa yachzor v'yishchot mi ba'alei. It shouldn't just say you bring the blood of the seir again, right, which makes it sound like you just pick up the container that you just used and then do it again. But rather, it sounds from Ula that you should have shechted it again if you got the blood out of order. So talking about Ula, the matano shebehechal, that's not referring to the kosher gresham, that's talking about the blood of the hechal, I believe, that you put on the parochas, or towards the parochas. And therefore, once the kodesh gresham bloods have already been sprinkled, so then you don't have any problem anymore of the shechita being out of order. The shechita is already done with. And therefore, you only have to do the blood. V'chein amar Rabbi Yefes, interesting name, b'matano shebehechal. It's referring to the Dam HaBaruchas, which is not what we were talking about before. Interesting, there are interesting implications here, that the fact that they're talking about the blood of the Baruchas could imply that they're talking about Shitas Rabbi Nechemya, and not Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Nechemiah is the one yesterday who said that the order matters even outside of the Kodesh Kodashim. Here, we're talking about the Hecha. So, all along, we've been passing like Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Nechemiah, not knowing it. Either way, V'chein b'Hecha, right? Because going to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't have to do anything. Okay, V'chein b'Hecha, V'chein b'Mitzvah. What does that mean? That you have to keep the order. I remember, let's keep going. Tana Rabbanan, v'chiperes mikdash hakodesh. Ze lifnai v'lifnim. When the Pasuk tells us that you have to atone for the mikdash hakodesh. So what is that telling us? It's telling us that you have to atone for those who came into the Kodesh HaKodeshim when they were tamei. I guess that would probably only be the Kohen, or maybe one of the workers. Ohel moed zehechal. That somebody who has to bless you, somebody has to get atonement for the tumah that they brought into the hechal. Mizbeach kimashma'o. That you have to get atonement for the fact that someone brought tumah onto the mizbeach. Yechaper elazaros. And then the last word, yechaper, is coming to bring atonement for the place of the azar. People who are tumah that can't come to the azar, they come anyway. Okay, Hakohanim Kamashma'an. The pasuk says, right, the pasuk beforehand that we just quoted each word from had words in between. One of them was Va'al Hakohanim, so that's obviously referring to the Kohanim. Am Hakahal Eli Yisrael, that's referring to the people. Yechaper, that's referring Elu Halavim, those are referring to the Levim. Interesting order, but either way, Hushvu Kulan V'Chapara Achas. They're all equated with one atonement. Shekulan miskaprin b'seir hamishalech b'shaar averos divrei Yehuda. They're all getting kapara through the seir hamishalech for all of their averos.
For everything other than tumah, because we
already besides tumah, and for all shaar averos, only the things that cause tumah in the Beis HaMikdash are rectified by the blood. Okay, that's possible. This one was by the seir. I'm not sure why it's the same pasuk, but either way, I guess it's a general pasuk after all of it. So, Rabbi Shimon Amar Kshim Shadam HaSayir Nasa Befnim Mechaper Al Yisrael, just like the blood of the goat, which is thrown inside the Kodesh HaKadashim, that atones for the Tumah of those places, Mikdash U'Kadashav. Kach Dam HaPar Mechaper Al Kohanim Mitumas Mikdash U'Kadashav. So too, the blood of the ox is Mechaper on the Kohanim and everything inside. Just like the goat, the phrasing or the confession of the goat, right? The Ana Hashem. So then, just like that's mechaper al Yisrael b'shar averos, kach vido shel par mechaper al hakohanim b'shar averos. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon has a little more, I guess, specific mention of the vidoy doing kapar as opposed to just the seir versus the par. Okay, either way, everyone's covered with all these processes. Tana Rabbana, Anvichila Mekaper Sakodesh Zeh Lifnav Lifnim O Moed Zeh Hecham Mizbeach Kmashmo. We just said Milame Shekulin Kapara Kapara Bifnei Atzman. The fact that each of these phrases refers to a different place means that each of these places are accomplishing independent atonements, right? So that's why it's important halachically, and therefore, we're about to go into a big quote from a lot of things we've seen before. Mikan Amru. From here we learn, Nasan Miksas Matanas Shebefnim, if you've only given the bloods from on the inside of the Kodesh HaKadashim, Nishbach Adam, and then it spills before you're able to finish that process of the Kodesh HaKadashim, Yavidam Achrav Yasrav Etchila B'Matanas Shebefnim. So you bring new blood, meaning you have new Shechita, and you bring new blood, and then you start all the processes over again from the beginning. The entire blood that you sprinkle inside the Kodesh Kodesh, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, En Maska El Makom Shabasak. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say, you only have to continue from the place that you stopped. Gamar Samatar Shabbatim, Nishmach Adam, Yavidam Achri, Askab, Eschil, Matar Shabbatim, once you finish Kodesh Kodesh, and you're bringing that out to do on the Paroches, so then if you spill the blood before that, you have to start again only for the Paroches, but not for anything that happened in Kodesh Kodesh, that already finished. Because again, that kapara is independent from others. If you come and you bring some of that which is on or towards the paroches, and then that blood spills, so then you have to start that process again by the paroches with a new animal shchita. You would bring the new blood and you would start where you finished, but not at the beginning of that process. If, however, you finished all of those against the Parochas and then you're going on to the Mizbeach Hazav, the Ketores Mizbeach, so then you start there, you don't have to go back to the Parochas. If you did some of the Matanos Mizbeach and then the blood spills, so then you have to go back, and according to the Tanakhama, you have to go back to the beginning of the Mizbeach blood sprinkling. Then they say the same thing. You go back to where you left off. You don't have to go all the way back to the beginning of the Mizbeach sprinklings. You can just take it off, take it from where you left off after you do a new Shechita. Gamar Maton Shem Mizbeach V'Nishbach Adam. However, once you finish the blood of the Mizbeach, and then the blood spills, so Divrei Kol Lamakvi. Everyone agrees that once you get to the leftover blood, at that point where you've done all three different sprinklings, so then there's no problem. It doesn't matter that you couldn't properly pour it down the drain at the base of the Mizbeach. That's not Ma'akev, and therefore you don't have to do anything else. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnei Mikra Echadar, should they all learn out from the same Pasuk? Midam Chatas HaKippurim, Achas Ba'ashana. From the blood of the Chatas Yom HaKippurim. Once a year. What does that mean? Chatas HaKippurim, Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Meir Savar, Chatas Achas Amartilach, V'lo Shtei Chatas. I told you to bring one Chatas worth of blood. I guess that's, or Chatas, order of blood. But not Shtei Chatas, but not from two Chatas, meaning only one animal. And not from two. So if one animal's blood is only partially given and then spills out, you have to bring a separate animal, but do the entire blood sprinklings from that animal. You can't mix animals when it comes to the blood sprinkling on either all three of these rings. However, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Savri, Chitoy Achas Amartilach. When does it say Chatas? When it says chatas, it means only one pouring. How do you translate chitoy?
Sprinkling.
Also sprinkling. Chitoy achad amarti lach v'loshne chituyin. It doesn't matter if you have multiple animals. You can only do every sprinkling one time. You can't mix and match. You can mix and match, but you can't do repetitions. Okay, interesting drasha that we've been talking about this machlokas for a couple of days now. Now we understand where it comes from. Okay. Tanya the Braisa says, I'm a Rebbe. Lo chilek Rebbe Yaakov Belugin. Li chilek, right. Li chilek Rebbe Yaakov Belugin. Rebbe said, to me, Rebbe Yaakov distinguished the lugin of the mitzora. When it comes to the mitzora, so what do? You take the, is it oil or blood?
Oil.
Oil on the, of the mitzora, and you put it on the thumbs and the big toes?
The ear, the thumb, and the big toe.
Ear, thumb, and big toe. Okay. Not in that order. Isn't that the order? I don't know. We're going to see in a second. I think we're going to go through the order now. I'm just trying to remember. I think it's thumb, big toe, and then ear. But let's go. So he says there's no difference, meaning that if you finish, if it spills in the middle of the process, you have to go back to the beginning. And li chilek Rebbe Yaakov Belugin. Rebbe Yaakov says, li chilek Rebbe Yaakov Belugin, that what?
He says that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon disagree with Rabbi Meir only regarding Yom Kippur, but they agree with the Mitzara's oil that if it spills...
Yeah. Meaning that Rabbi Yaakov is representing the Tanakhama's opinion, who's usually would... No. Li chilek Rabbi Yaakov belugin here means... Let's look at Rashi. Li nasan Rabbi Yaakov chilek belug shemen shal Mitzara shalo hushvul matan damish la Yom Kippur v'shana li lo nechleklu Rabbi Meir... Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Babas Achalukos. Meaning, Li Chilek means that there's a difference between Yom Kippur and the Mitzorah. Whereas on Yom Kippur, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir, the Tanakhama, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that they disagree as to whether you go all the way back to the beginning of each process or can you pick it up where you left off. When it comes to the Mitzorah, everyone agrees to go back to the beginning of the process. I think that's what Rashi is saying. So now let's go through it. So Gemara is going to say, Velo, is it really true that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon agree that you go back to the beginning of each process, just like Yom Kippur, like Rabbi Meir says, Tanakhama says about Yom Kippur. Vatanya the Braisa says, it's going to sound familiar, but it's different. It's a different process. Nasan miktas matan shebetim v'nishbach halog, yavilog achav yasko etzchil matan shebehechal. That if you are putting the oil on the mitzorah on the inside, here the inside doesn't mean the kodesh kodesh, it means the hechal, and then the oil spills out, so then you have to go bring more oil. Now, I don't exactly know what the process is of attaining that oil, but it's probably not as difficult as shechting an entire animal, I would assume. Right? When I don't think you have to go to the field and squeeze out some olives. I think you just take some more oil. But the point is, you have to start the sprinkling or placing of the oil onto the hand again. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Malkum, Shabbat, Sakum, Aschal. Again, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say the same thing as they did Yom Kippur, that wherever you left off, that's where you pick up. Gamar Matan Shabbat Nishmach Halog Yavi Logach V'Yaspet Chil Matan Shabbat Bahonos. If, however, you finished the Matanos of the Heichal, and the oil spilled after you finished the Matanos of the Heichal. So then, just bring another one and start the behonos. So what was the one in the hechal? What do you do with the oil of the hechal? You put it on the mizbeach? Anyone know what that oil is for?
So the eighth day, he brings a sheep for an asham, as well as the other offerings, and a log of oil. The Kohen waves the asham together with the oil.
Okay.
He sheds the asham and applies the blood to the mitzvah's right ear, right thumb, and right big toe, immediately after the application of the asham's blood to the altar. He then pours some of the oil into the palm of another Kohen and then dips his finger into the oil and sprinkles mm-hmm. the oil seven times toward the Kodesh Kedoshim.
Okay, so that's what I was looking for.
And then he takes the oil and applies it to the Yerushalayim.
Right. So there's a process of the Kohen similar to the process of the second process of Yom Kippur with the blood, where you take it and you throw it towards the Kodesh HaGadashim. I don't know if it's hitting the Parochas or towards the Parochas, but that's what it says. That's what Len was saying. I'm seeing here that you do put blood on his... You put blood on his ear and on the and in his thumbs and his feet. So why we're talking about the oil, which is the second part, but there is a blood part to this.
Right. The Kohen applies some of the animal's blood to the earlobe of the leper, his right big toe.
Right, but it doesn't talk about that in our Gemara. We're only talking about the oil, which is afterwards. Okay, either way.
Well, I don't think there's any dispute regarding
Maybe.
Here regarding the oil.
Now we're talking about the oil, but presumably they would have a machlokas by the blood too. I would think. I don't know. Either way, let's keep going and see how it goes. Okay, so same type of machlokas. Gamar matanos tbeher v'nishpach halog. If you finish the sprinkling of the oil towards the paroches, and then it spills out, so then yavilog achar v'yaskar tchum matanos v'honos. Then you only have to do the thumb and the foot again. You don't have to go back and do the parochas again. Nasan miktas matanos bebahonos v'nishbach halog. You do some of the shemen and some of the oil on the bahonos, and then it spills out. Yavi lagach v'aspatzchil. You have to start that again. Matanos bebahonos. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim mimakus shabatzuk maaskel. The place where you leave off, that's where you have to start again. You don't go all the way back. However, So that's why I thought Matanos Harosh might have meant the ear.
No, it says that...
You pour it on top of his head?
Yeah, if you have any leftover oil, you put it on his head.
So why doesn't it mention the ear explicitly in the Gemara then? It says you do the finger, you do the thumb and the toe... But it doesn't say anything about the ear. I just don't know why. Might be referring to that, but Bahonos... I guess maybe Bahonos also is a reference to the ear? I don't know. It's one of these foreign things you just never come by and you just can't figure it out. Okay, so I guess it's referring to the ear also. Let's just say that Bahonos is referring to the ear. Because bahonos means the thumb and the foot, right? We don't call the ear a bahonos. Either way, I guess it's including the ear too. Okay. Let's see if Rashi says anything. No, nothing. Okay, I assume it's referring to the ear too. So Emma, so basically now we have a problem. Zooming back out for a second. So then we had said Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon disagreed only by Yom Kippur, right? That's what Rabbi Yaakov had told Rabbi Udanasi. So now he said that they disagree by Yom Kippur, but they don't disagree by the mitzvah with the oil. And here they clearly do disagree by the oil. So Ema, so says the Gemara, when Rebbe said that phrase, the li chilek, he didn't mean chilek, it must have been li shana, Rebbe Yaakov Belugin. Meaning, he said the same thing by Mitzora. That's what he meant to say. Okay? So Amar Mar, but this is interesting because then the machlokas is adaptable to other things, or at least applies to other things. Which we didn't necessarily know before. So Amar Mar Matanos Harosh Ein Ma'aklos. Putting the oil on top of the head of the Mitzora is sort of just like the extra. It's the cherry on top or the oil on top, but it's not really to tell you whether or not the Mitzora is forgiven or finished. He gets kapara even if you spill the oil after the Bahonos. Okay, so my time, because it's referring to when it says that oil you put on the head, it calls it the nosar min hashemen, the extra of the oil, meaning that it's already done. Just like the blood was shiraim, so too this is blood is shiraim. El me'ata v'hanoseres min hamincha. Right, the pasuk says in the beginning of Ikra, the extras of the mincha go to Aaron and his kids. Does that also mean we don't have to give it to them? Meaning by the mincha flour. So no shani hasm dechsev umi yeser v'hanosar. But when it comes to the mitzora, there are two words, yeser and nosar, which refer to the extra-ness of the oil, as opposed to just one extra of the mincha. Okay, interesting. Drasha. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, asham mitzora sheshachto shelo lishmel. The asham of the mitzora. What animal are we talking about in asham?
One of the offerings that the mitzora has to bring is an asham.
Okay, so only that one. What else does he bring? I don't know if there's another one. Okay, he's bringing. Might be he brings those birds, obviously. But that's not the same thing as a carbon with the blood. Okay, fine. So he's got the asham. Okay, it's a lamb. The problem is that you shechted it without the intention for it to be for the mitzvah. So then comes the Gemara and says, well, maybe this also comes to the machlokas, banal machlokas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. You can apply their machlokas here. Rabbi Meir, da'amar yav yach, v'yasl v'tzila. Rabbi Meir, who is the one who says that you always go back to the beginning of each process when you lose some part of it, whether it's blood or oil or here the actual animal, right? The animal was misattributed when it was shechted. So then yav yach v'yasl v'tzila, hachanam yav yach v'yishkot. Bring another one, do the shechita again, just like you would do for the blood. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, omri makom shvasak shem maskil. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who say that you have to go back to where you finished. So hacha ein lo takana. Maybe here, you've already done enough, or you've already done the sufficient amount that would give you, that would make it considered a karban asham, and therefore you can't go back and do it again. This says in the commentary here. I assume Rashi tells us. Let me see. The pasuk there, Rashi says, "Keves echad asham," that there's only one asham echad amar tilach lo shtei ashamas. Right. So, meaning the obvious response would be, "Wait a second. We had a pasuk that told us Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, the first time, because the pasuk had said chatas achas bashana." Right, midam chatas kippurim achas bashana. So that was the drasha we made to teach us that Yom Kippur you can only do it once. So where do you find that here? So Rashi comes and fills in the gap. There's a pasuk that says keves echad asham when it comes to the mitzora, which means you only get one chance. And if the asham was no good, so then ein lo takana. What does that mean? Ein lo takana. He's going to stay in mitzora the rest of his life? Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I tried to look at this with Danny yesterday. I don't see any commentary about this. There's literally no way he can get out of his mitzvah status for the rest of his life. There's a lot riding on that one coin. That's what it says. You can't, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, at least. Now we're not paskin like them, but that's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Ein lo takana. He can never eat kachem again. He can never presumably come into the Beis Hamikdash again. So I don't know. There might be other opinions about this, but that's how at least Rashi is understanding it. Okay. So Maskif le Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, wait a second, Vaha Osoksiv. The pasuk says, oh, so even if it's the case that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon have this unique shita that they'll use the word echad to teach you only get one chance, even Rabbi Meir should say you only get one chance because the pasuk says, oh, so la asham, You only get one. It shall be the keves for the asham, but not a different one. So maybe even Rabbi Meir should say, Eino Takana, Kasha. They agree with that one. That sounds like one you can get out of, but he says, no. I got no answer to that. Apparently there are answers, though.
Right, because it says Kasha.
Kasha, not Tziyufta, yeah. Tani Kavasei, Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so... Yeah. So Tana Kavasa Rabbi Yochanan, the Brisa tells us from Rabbi Yochanan, Ashmatar Shishkato Lo Shalom Shmo Shalom Demo Gabe Bahonos. Sorry, Shalom Lishmo O Shalom Nasim Demo Gabe Bahonos. If the Mitzorah was shechted without proper intention, or the blood wasn't put on the Bahonos properly, Hareza Olo Gabe Mizbeach, you still put it on the Mizbeach. I mean, it's kosher enough. V'ton Nesachim, and you can put on the regular libations. V'tzarech Hashem Achalach Shira, meaning that the animal is still okay, but you can bring another one. Meaning that animal didn't fulfill its purpose for the Mitzorah, but it's still good enough to put on the Mizbeach. Okay, it'll be interesting to see why. But the Gemara now says, what does it mean, Sarach Ashem Acher Lachshiro? That you can bring another one? It's not true. Rabbi Chista Amar Lach, my Sarach, what does it mean that you need one? Sarach Vein Latakana. You need one, but you can't get one. Right?
You're stuck.
Which is an interesting way, the Gemara is about to ask this, but presumably you would say that in the Braisa. You need another one to make it better. And you can't do it. Presumably you would say that you can't do it. Doesn't say that though. So Gemara says, "Vitani tana tzarach ve'en lo takana." Vitani tana tzarach ve'en lo takana. It should say those words. You need one, but you can't. Saying just the phrase "you need one" implies that you can get one. So Gemara says, it's true. It does mean that the word tzarach means also "ein lo takana." How do we know? Vatanya, this is not a question, this is a support. Nazir memorat. This is an interesting question. Let's say you've got a Nazir who's bald, right? Usually a Nazir would grow out his hair. Part of the process afterwards, could be a woman too. A Nazir would grow out his or her hair. And the part of the process afterwards is that they would shave the head, shave all the hair on the body.
And then didn't they use that hair, put the hair in the fire that they then gonna
the possible.
With, I think so.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So they had to do something with that.
Right. So what are you gonna do with a person who's bald? You're saying that there's no hair to use. Yeah. I'm just saying that you're not able to do the actual process of the cutting, which is part of the process. So Beishame Omrim Sarach Havaras Tar. You still have to put, why did you translate it, Tar? Razor? Right, still put a razor over the head, meaning there's nothing there, but you got to at least do something.
Perform it.
Yeah, exactly. Do at least look like you're doing something. So uvesil omrim ein tzarach havar star. Who are we kidding? The guy's got no hair, So Rabbi Avina kisha omrim beishamay tzarach. When Beishame says he needs to put the razor over his head, what he really means is tzarach ve'en lo takana. Meaning that you have to put the razor over your head, and what I mean by that is you can't do it.
So in other words, if you're bald, don't become a nazir.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to be very careful if you're bald to never make sure you're not, make sure you never say you're a nazir. You're right. I don't know.
I mean, I assume we don't pass them like Beishame.
We usually pass like Beishame, yeah. It seems like that based on the little bays here in the Gemara. So now the Gemara continues. Upliga Rebbe Pedas. This is going according against Rebbe Pedas. Damer Rebbe Pedas Beishamay Rebbe Yozar Amru Davar Echad. Beishamay had the Amru. We just said Beishamay Rebbe Yozar Ditznan Ein Lo Bohen Yad Ubon Regel Olo Ein Lo Taras Olamis. Rebbe Yozar says that if you don't have a thumb on the right hand or a thumb on the left, a big right toe, so then there's no Tara. You have to stay as a Mitzorah forever. because you don't have anything. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Elazar Omer, however, no sin al makom say whichever part I assume is the closest, so that where the thumb or the toe would be, so then that's where you put the oil and you're good enough. Yeah? That makes sense? I don't know. I mean, some of those would be hard to figure out. Meaning, this sounds like, you know, you just don't have a thumb or you don't have a big toe. What if, like, you don't have an arm?
He says you put it where the thumb would be.
Okay, so let's say you don't have an arm. The entire arm's not there.
I guess you assume, well, via normal
arm. You put it in the airspace over there?
No, in other words...
You put it on the shoulder?
No, where the stump...
That's what I'm saying. I would assume means the closest spot on the body.
Right.
Not where the thumb would be. Like, that's what the words are, but I don't think that's what it means.
The question is, how do you know the thumb would be here?
Right, exactly. Here. Yeah, is he holding his hand up? So, right. So Rabbi Shimon over Ibn Nasan al Shal Smol Yatzam, you could put it on the left. But the point is, Rabbi Elazar is the one that said you could have, there's another way out. And Rabbi Pidas says, Beshame and Rabbi Elazar agree. So Beshame and Rabbi Elazar presumably both think that there's a way out, which is against what we said before, that there's no way out, according to Rabbi Avina. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. You take from the blood, Yachol Bekli. Maybe you would think that you take it from the, I guess once we're talking about the Mitzvah now, maybe you would think that you take the blood with a vessel. Tamalover Venasan, Man is Sinir Be'asma Shal Kohen, just like the Kohen does the actual giving of the oil with his finger. Aflakicha Be'asma Shal Kohen, so too the taking of it was with his hands. Yachol Af L'Mizbeach, okay, maybe you would try to, you know, hold it in your hands until you get to the Mizbeach. Tamalomer ki kachatas ha'asham hu, like the chatas. What does it mean? Machatas to unakli. Hafasham ton kli. So the asham also requires you to collect it in a vessel of some kind. Nimseh sata omer, asham mitzor shnei kohanim mekavlin es damo. There are two kohanim involved in taking the blood. Oh, this is back into the blood. Sorry. You're taking the blood. I should have said that from the beginning. Echad biyad v'echad bekli. One of them is taking it with his hands, one is taking it with a vessel. You're taking the blood in your hand. The one who's got it in a kli brings it to the mizbeach. One has it in his hand, comes to the mitzvah. Presumably there's another kohen there that takes the blood out of his hand. I don't know. Interesting phrase. But either way,
here he says that after receiving the blood in his right hand, he pours it into his left hand. And then he dips the finger of his right hand.
Okay, so he's doing one hand, okay, I thought he was taking it with two hands. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan v'kulan mitamin habegan v'sarfan abes hadashin. All of these, meaning all of the pars and the seirs that are used for the Yom Kippur service, and their blood was spilled, meaning you couldn't use them anymore to put on the mizbeach. So then, all of those animals are mitame begadim. Meaning that they're all I assume this is a tzimud rabbanan to create a disincentive to use them. V'nisraf and abesadashin, you have to bring them outside of the three camps, outside of the Har Bayis, and you have to do it in the Beis Hadeshin. We bring from Beis Hadeshin. That's what Rabbi Shimon say. No, it's not true. The only one that causes all this to happen is the one that actually effectuates the kapara, but not these that the blood spilled and therefore they're unusable. Rather, I guess you just throw them out. Not sure what you do with them. But apparently they're not good enough even to be brought out to the, or they're not sanctified enough. Kind of interesting, but that's the machlokes. We'll see tomorrow, Mir Tashem, about whether or not this applies to many animals or just the one. Okay. Shkach tomorrow. Shir is at 8:05, so Daf is at 7:20 in here.